Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So in our little kind of different ordering of things, each and every one of us has been offered a meal, right? We were offered that, and there were no credentials checked at the door. There wasn't anything that you had to do, or hopefully hoops that you had to jump through. And in particular, in United Methodist congregations, one of the things that we hold important is that we use grape juice as opposed to some of the other faith traditions, so that alcoholic, you know, body and blood don't then present a stumbling block for others. And so really the faith tradition that we have is that the table, the doors to the banquet hall are thrown open. And the language that we use is that this is a foretaste or a sample or just a snapshot of the kingdom that is to come. And so when we think about that, maybe some of those things of what the characteristics of the kingdom are might kind of then have some similarities between what you said, that, you know, what part of Faith Point that you find meaningful and relevant you cannot download. Maybe some of those elements of the kingdom are there too. But we've then been given all of this. We've been extended this grace to say, no matter where you've been, no matter your current circumstances or your anxieties about the future, this gift, this table, this sample of what is to come is open to you before you even knew it. Before you even knew that God was working in your life, there was a set place for you. The scripture that Joel read for us said, even when we were still sinners, right? We didn't have to figure it out and get it all together before we walk into that banquet hall or walk to the table, but it's there ready and waiting. Isn't that kind of awesome? Like, regardless of anything else, regardless of what's been going on in your life, regardless of your bank account, regardless of your relationships, regardless of anything, there is a set place for you. And that's pretty cool. And so as we then have kind of been talking about this and looking at this way of how to be rich, one of the things that we realize is that this mentality that this table offers is that there is this abundant theology rather than this theology of scarcity that so often we have of, I have to do it just right and I have to divvy out so much. But God is saying, in God's glory and goodness, no, there's room for everyone. And we all get to eat. And so having this kind of mentality, getting to be a person who sees this how to be rich thing, as we've been talking about for the past 4 weeks, as a mindset of abundance rather than scarcity is kind of hard. But really, it's this call to then have a whole self-living offering, like that memory verse that we have says, is that I'm going to offer everything that I have. And so we've been talking about how to be someone who doesn't, that their finances don't have a stranglehold on them, or that we don't have a stranglehold on our finances. I think about when I hear that language of when I was early in my rock climbing career, and I would hold on to the rock terrified that I was going to fall off, even though there was ropes and everything else, right? And so to the point that my knuckles were white because I was terrified to let go. And I wonder how many of us have that kind of relationship with our funds and finances. And so what Andy Stanley reminds us in our book is that we don't get credit for the things that we leave, but we get credit for the thing that we give. Isn't that kind of interesting? You don't get credit for the thing that you leave because all of us, when we die, all of us leave everything, right? And so you don't get credit for that. But what Andy writes is that what we are remembered for are those things that we give away and the things that we do and the way in which we are rich towards God, because first there was this movement of generosity and grace that comes to us and allows us to then come and sample and see that God is good. And so that abundant mentality is something that is a gift for us. And what Andy would then kind of venture on to say, which is kind of a tie-in for this book that I'm reading by Bob Goff, who says, you know, the title is Everyone Always. And I think Andy would kind of concur that what Jesus calls us into, what the table calls us into, what that verse of being a living sacrifice calls us into is to live a life that we don't play it safe, but that we are safe. And I think there's a huge difference. And so Bob in his book writes that he's a pilot. He's a small aircraft pilot. And he said that sometimes when he goes on speaking engagements, it's just easier to fly himself there, which I have to pause and wrap my head around too, to be like, okay, that seems right. Just go to the airport and fly yourself over there, whatever. He said, you know, and he talks about how he had a friend who could get him this plane that he could rent. He said, and it was really cheap because it was an old plane that was kind of dilapidated. It had duct tape on the wings. And I thought, wait a minute, what? I didn't realize that was a thing, but apparently. So he flies into this one venue, and he said, and then pulling up right next to him was this F-16 fighter, and these two guys hop out, right? And he goes, I was in like my you know Bahama shirt and flip flops, and they come out like Top Gun style, hopping off, and their mask and all the things are hanging off with their aviators on, and so he was just in awe and enamored because he's got duct tape like hanging off of the wings there, and they've got you know missiles hanging off the wings of their airplane, and he's like, ah. So he strikes up a conversation, and what he said kind of earlier on was that when he mapped out his flight plan, it was going to be pretty simple. He picks the highest point that is in his flight path, and he said, and so I just decided I was going to go 2,000 feet above that tallest mountain. And so he starts having a conversation with these pilots, though, about where they've been, and said, yeah, they came from, you know, about 2,000 miles away to fly not over the mountains, but through the valleys. Which was kind of interesting. He said, yeah, so they talked about how, you know, flying through the valleys allows them to work on their teamwork and communication and hone their skills so that then when it really matters, they're safer. He was playing it safe. They were training to be safer. Isn't that kind of interesting? And that imagery has stuck with me all day because, or all week, because I thought, man, how many times do we just kind of play it safe? When the reality is to be safe is to be as close to where Jesus was as possible, to be as close to where Jesus is calling us as possible. And that's usually not on the mountaintops. And so one of the best quotes that then from that section that Bob writes was this: every day we get to decide if we'll take it easy and fly over the mountaintops in our relationships or make ourselves better by finding a way through the valleys. Whew, that's good, right? Because if we think about how this table was prepared, if you go back and think about one of those psalms that we read typically at funerals about, you know, Psalm 23 talks about, you know, though you make, you know, as I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you prepare before me a table in the midst of my enemies. Man, that's going through. That we have a God who is willing to set up shop, not only in our neighborhood, but in the darkest of valleys and say, yo, the worst thing is never the last thing. And I've always got more. And when we start to have that mentality, when we start to say, I get to choose every day if I'm going to take the safe way or if I'm going to go and find a way through the valleys to be safe. When we think about this and think about the way that we are called to invest, when we think about this and think that we have a God who didn't choose to play it safe, but to go through the valley and find a safe passage for us. There must have been better ways. There has to be. Theologically, I mean, there's ways in which God could snap God's fingers and it would all be fixed, right? And just kind of have a cosmic reset. But that's not the way that's happened. And so then when we are called to have to be a living offering and to make that our act of worship, when we're reminded that, yeah, we give maybe 10% or so back to God in our offering to the church so that we can do things and explore different ways to do church that have never been done before, which is kind of mind-boggling to me, right? And how many times people have said to us, you know, this online campus thing that you have is pretty cool, but we've never seen it done like this before, Right? That's what that 10% empowers. That's what our offering, that's what the things that we give to the church empowers us to do church like no one else or no time else before. But then we still have this 90% that we're called to be stewards over. And so the question is, are we going to play it safe, or are we going to find a way in our relationships to invest, not necessarily in God, but the way that we do that, how does God invest God's abundant resources? By pouring out and by creating to those people that have been made in God's image. And so one of those major ways that we have been called to be rich together is to invest in the people who have been made in the image of God. And now look around. Do you see anyone who is not made in the image of God? Right? The church answer is no. So just if you're thinking, or if you're thinking that we got in a fight in the car over here, the reality is every single one of you, so turn to somebody that you see next to you and say, you are made in the image of God. There you go. Turn to somebody else and say it to them. There you go. And now everybody just turn to me and say it to me because sometimes I forget. There we go. All right, I just need a little ego boost today, right? But the reality is that we have tasted and seen the depths and the lengths to which God would go to be rich for each and every one of us, and then calls us into participation to bring about the kingdom, to expand that foretaste there to other people, to ourselves, and more fully understand what that kingdom of God would look like if we have this abundant mentality. And so this week, we think, how might I navigate the valleys rather than play it safe so that I might be rich in my relationship with God and others and transform the kingdom? Let's pray. Wonder-working God, I give you thanks for this time to be together today to reflect on what it means that we get to have a sample and a foretaste of your kingdom. And then to be rich in that in ways that we can't even imagine. To do the hard things of going through the valleys and walking with one another through those valley times so that we might come out the other side, knowing the gift of your love and grace that worked in us before we even knew that you were at work, that the worst thing is never the last thing, and that now, after tasting and seeing, we can say that you are always good, and that we are rich beyond our wildest dreams. Amen. Let's stand and sing.